chapter of Revelation, and we're going to go to the third verse, Revelation chapter 1, third verse. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the Bible says when you read this book, you are blessed. When you hear the words coming out of this book, you are blessed. When you will make an effort to carry out and maintain and keep the words that you have read and heard, you are blessed. My God, you are blessed. That's powerful. You better start reading some Revelation and walk in your blessings. Amen. Let's stand up on your feet, praise God, and we're going to read the scripture coming out of Revelation 1 and 3. Amen? Revelation chapter 1, third verse. Ready, begin. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that heareth the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Let's read it again. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know we are many across the land, and maybe I would say across the world, are mindful of today, September the 11th. And as I shared with you before, over 15 years ago, on September the 11th, I had entered into my office, and while entering into my office, it was just like a burden, a heavy impression of the Holy Spirit came on me. Now, it wasn't more like a burden, but it was more like it was like some heaviness came on me, and the Lord was impressing me to pray. And I'm telling you, this is the longest I ever prayed. And I'm not suggesting that everybody has to pray like Pastor Rock or pray, you know, several hours in order to impress. There's nothing about trying to impress God. But at that particular day, the Lord impressed upon my heart to pray. And I went through, you know, going over confessions that the Word of God had given me to announce and proclaim over my life and over the church. And then I just went into praying in the Spirit for a few hours. And I couldn't come out. I don't know if you ever got into that before, but I just couldn't come out. I just stayed there. And I said, wow, let me just. And I didn't realize how the time had transpired. It just, you know, when you're in the Spirit, it's not like you in and out. You know, you think about the time. You don't even think about the time. It just go. And then when I came out of it, I said, wow, I couldn't believe it was that long. And it was about 3 hours had transpired, and I got a call, and someone had told me that you need to turn on the news. Did you know that you heard what has happened? You know, and they said the World Trade System towers had came down. And I said, what? But in my spirit, I was not trouble. Well, I don't know. It's just. Because you got to understand, when you pray in the Spirit, you'll build yourself up. I had proclaimed some things in the Spirit. I had released my faith in the Spirit. And as I shared with you, it was 2,996 people who had perished that day. Thank you. Who had died that day. And who would no longer be with us. And some died later. But that was the account that had transpired. Some went to heaven and maybe some went to hell. I can't say. But one thing I do know is that God was speaking to all of them. I'm going to say that again. God was speaking to all of them. God is speaking to all of us. We ain't always listening, because there are other voices that are louder many times than the voice of God. The Bible said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. See, if I'm not following him, I must not have paid attention to what I heard when he spoke to me. So I believe there were some people that were told to leave and go, and they were about to do that. And then some other people told them, hey, you need to come on back and stay. And they honored the second person's voice, and then they died in the building. You know, and my heart goes out for many of the firefighters and the police officers who gave their lives as well, going in to try to save, because that's their mission. Their mission is to protect our communities and to be a blessing to us in helping us to survive in this land when we're going through, you know, devastations of that nature. But we know that, you know, during that time that 2,996 people had passed, they said the buildings hold up to 50,000. So the objective of the enemy was to destroy more than that. And usually that was the normal use of the facility of that occupation. So I believe many heard that day and said, well, I'm not going in. I'm going to spend time with my family. I don't know if y'all ever heard those testimonies, but many did not go in. And so I believe they heard God. And they probably said, you know, they probably didn't say, you know, God is saying, I'm speaking to you to go and not go. You know, it wasn't no voice like that, but it was an intuition on the inside that prompted them to hear the voice of God. And so my thing is that I'm sharing with you today that I believe through prayer, many were saved from going in and not allowing their lives to be destroyed. We know that we're living in the last days. Paul talks much about that in the book of Timothy, the last and evil days. And Matthew and Mark and John talks about, you know, the last days that we're living in. We've been studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in the last chapter, the 22nd chapter. We've started from Genesis all the way down to the last chapter of Revelation. And one of the things I want to share with you today is that you need to know, without any reservations, without any doubt, that you are blessed. You need to know and know that you know. You can't not, I don't know why this, you can't be saying, I don't know why this always happened to me. You got to know that you are blessed. And that word blessed means that you are empowered to succeed. You are anointed to have good success. And you got to see that in your life, even when you're tested with opposition that don't look like you are that way. See, understand this. The blessings comes from a word that's been given to you. See, you remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? The blessings did not be released until words were spoken. Words were spoken over from the Father to the Son to carry on the blessing. Sometimes in this life that we live in, people think the blessing is what they see from products or material things, or from, you know, how much money you got, or, you know, whether you got several yachts and homes everywhere. They think that's a blessing, but that is only can be possibly, not always, but possibly a product of the blessing, but not actually the blessing. Because, see, you got people that do evil and got those things. So we know that the enemy, who is Satan, he's the god of this world, and he wants to blind the eyes of those with unbelief. But we who are believers, we know that we have the power and authority to rule and reign on the earth with the blessing. And the blessing is on us not because of who we are, but because who he is in us. See? And if you want to go back even further, he goes all the way back to Genesis, and with dealing with Adam and Eve, the first thing he did when he created them, he blessed them. He told them to be fruitful, multiply, subdue, take dominion over the earth. That's a product of the blessing. Come on, are you listening to me? You got a product. You are a product of the blessing, man. You're supposed to be releasing your faith in that. See, the blessing just don't work just because you look like it. The blessing works because you engage your faith in what God has said you are. Abraham had to go, not stay in Ur. He had to go. And when he went, he obeyed God. God releases the blessing because of his obedience to go. Many times God's telling you to go and you're sitting. But God's telling you to go for the purpose of fulfilling your assignment with the blessing. The blessing is to be a blessing. Who are you blessing? Who are you blessing? Tell your neighbor, who are you blessing? I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible, the same verse or passage of scriptures, third verse, and it says, how blessed the reader, how blessed the hearer or the keeper of these oracle words, all the words written in this book. Time is just about up. Not just time is at hand. It's just about up. You know, when we've been studying Revelation, we know that we're in the dispensation now of grace. You better be thanking God that you're not under the law. Under grace. And we know grace is God's unmerited favor, God unearned favor, God undeserved favor. I didn't get it because I could work for it. To get it, I got it because of grace, who is a person or personality who is Christ. Amen. Remember, he came full of grace and truth. Yeah. And we know that grace was given to us so that we could appreciate and benefit from everything that he has given us. He has graced my life and your life with gifts, yeah, with anointings, yeah, with empowerments, yeah, to succeed. And you didn't earn it. It was given to you because you came into the family and he graced you with it. That's a part of the blessing. That's why the blessing is on your life. The Amplifier says it this way. Blessed, happy to be envied is the man who reads aloud in the assemblies and the word of this prophecy. And blessed, happy to be envied are those who hear it read and who keep themselves true to the things which are written in it, heeding them and laying them to their hearts for the time for them to be fulfilled is near. So not only does God want you to read it and hear it, but he wants you to take heart to what you read and hear. See, we can go through the motions of just having church, and every church have church, but they don't really have church in them. See, in other words, they're not responding to the will of God that God is speaking to them in this time. You're living here for a purpose, for a reason. You're not just existing for just to be here. You're on an assignment, glory to God. Tell your neighbor you're on an assignment, and it's not yours, it's God's. I know that's right. Amen. You may not like it, but you're going to get it today. And it's good for you. So you got to understand that when John, not John the Baptist, but John who? John the apostle. John, the one who was the disciples under Jesus. Yeah, he was put on an assignment by this leader that tried to kill him. And they said that he was boiled in oil and he didn't die. And it kind of confused this leader. He was going, what am I to do with this guy? I would think he came fearful and said, we got to let him go. I'm not going to touch this one. He's not dying like the others. Because why? He was on an assignment. You got to understand, you can't be killed in battle when you're on an assignment. See, if you don't see yourself, you know, on the assignment, then you where do you see yourself? And the reason why you don't see yourself on assignment because you ain't been listening to the one who put you on assignment. So he goes, and he's sent to the isle or the island called Patmos. It's like, can you imagine that all that he's gone through the test and trial of his body physically, and the Lord still spares his life, and now he's still going through suffering on an island all alone. And here he is, the Lord comes on the scene and give him a word. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And man, he's bowing down before his feet. He's prostrated. He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Glory to God. You need to get in the spirit that you're not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh, man, the flesh wants you big time. He want to take you for a ride. Flesh want to take you out. See, because he know he cooperates with the enemy, who is Satan, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But remember now, you're on the blessing. You're in the blessing who come to give you life and to give you more abundantly in abundance to the full till it overflows. You got to see that. That's a part of the blessing. And it's on you. Why? Because Jesus is in you. You know your mind be playing tricks on you and telling you what you're not. You need to tell your mind, I got the mind of Christ. I lost that mind. That's what I used to be. I'm not that no more. I'm a new creation. I'm a new species. That's the blessing. Keep the blessings before you. Remember in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, the 19th verse, he said, I've set before you life and death, blessings and cursings, is that choose life that you and your seed may live. God wants you to live in the blessings, not the curse. He wants you to be the head, not the tail. He wants you to see yourself as above only and not beneath. He wants to see you blessed going in and blessed coming out. You need to tell yourself that, because sometimes yourself be telling you everything opposing to what the will of God is. Bible said we ought to fight the good fight of faith, and sometimes we just sit back and let circumstances beat us up. Don't let your head trip you out. I'm talking to somebody in here. Maybe I'm not talking to everybody, but I'm talking to somebody in here. Because some of y'all have been tripping on yourself. And you need to get on the road with the King. And stop tripping on yourself. Stop beating yourself up. Stop going through the tests and trials that you have created yourself. Whenever the test and trial come and you're with him and he's with you, you're going to win. You're going to overcome every time. Because he's giving you the power to overcome. Well, we talked about the blessings, right? We know we got to read the word of God. Bible tells us to study. Don't read it as a novel. Study to show yourself approved, right? Don't just read it and say, I read the Bible, so you can get a check mark and a smiley face. What's up with this? We act like children when we're supposed to be mature. See, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, when I became mature, I put away childish things. toys I used to play with, you know, the little cars I used to roll on the floor. I don't play with those no more. Now I play with big cars. Huh? But what is God trying to tell us, though? What is he trying to tell us? Because he's talking to the churches. And he goes in the, I believe it's the first chapter. Go back to the first chapter of Revelation. And we'll make sure I give you the right verse. First chapter of Revelation. And go to the 11th verse. This is what he says here to John. And he's trying to keep John on the right track. Just like he's trying to keep us on the right track. Come on now, because all of us get off sometime, and we gotta jerk some slack out of us and get us back on his will and not just our way. That's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction, is death. And he told you not to lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I want my path to be directed by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God. Amen? And sometimes I got to jack myself up to get in line. The 11th verse, this is what he said. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And he repeats this because he's already said it's in the 8th verse, but he got to repeat it again. He got to let John know who he is. It's not like he don't know who he is. He want John to make sure. Hey, this is Jesus talking to you here. He says, and what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the 7 churches, which is in Asia. And he says, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. I want you to know Jesus is at home among the churches because he was the one who created the church. He is supposed to be the head of the church. He's the center of the church. If you go in the latter part of this passage of scripture coming out of 1 John, we see that he talks about the mysteries of the 7 stars, and he talks about what was in his right hand, and those 7 stars were the angels. And then he talked about the 7 candlesticks. And you find that in the 20th verse. The 7 candlesticks are the churches. And then he goes into the 2nd and the 3rd chapter, and now he begins to talk about those 7 churches. And I want you to know, you can't escape all of them. You one of them. Question is, which one are you? Just because you're in unity, it don't mean you in Philadelphia or Smyrna. I'm gonna tell you about them when we cover those in just a minute. But you really need to examine yourself because you know we got so much stuff that's gonna come down the pike. Temptations like you've never seen before. But God has given you authority over those temptations when they come. But if you don't have a revelation of that, you won't. They'll just have a field day on you. You think you all that in a bag of chips? You better have some word on you. You got to have some word on the inside of you. See, the Bible told us that's how we overcome. In Revelation 12, say, I'm giving you the word. I ain't giving you what I think. In Revelation 12:11, he said, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We overcome them, the accuser of the brethren. He comes to accuse you, to tempt you. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives unto death. That's how we overcome. And he's already defeated, but he will come with temptations to test you because he wants to tempt you because he looks for your weakness. Don't act like you ain't dealing with some weaknesses. Don't play me this morning. Huh? Paul even said he had not arrived. He was going through some, and look, he got more revelation, I believe, than all of us put here together and the churches as a whole. He was operating in an anointing of dreams and visions and the supernatural, miracles, signs, and wonders following him on a daily passion, and he was praying more all than we all together. My God, he was a superhuman. You would think. And he said, I have not arrived. But he said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, looking towards those things that are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, I'm pressing, glory to God. I still see myself fighting a good fight of faith. Some of y'all didn't give up in the fight. Some of you think there is no fight. Wake up, sleeping giant. There is a fight going on. That don't mean you have to be beating yourself up when you go to the Word of God. But you need to realize that, look, that you are made more than a conqueror. Amen. And the enemy is not supposed to be having a field day on you. You're supposed to be telling the enemy where to go. He got a word for the seven churches. And one of them are you. I need seven people up here. I'm not going to hit the people up here with I want y'all to just be, come on up. Don't feel like I'm going to hurt you today. I know I'm preaching kind of strong, but you got to understand that's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Is it got seven up here? I got all sizes of the churches up here. And if you know, I want you to understand that these seven churches that I'm about to talk to you about, share with you, they were on assignment under the authorization of Jesus. But many of them got out of the will of God. They were in the church, but they got out of the will of God. I'm telling you guys, you got to take this message seriously. Don't just take it as another message like I'm just trying to just minister to you. I can't make you get right, but you know what? If the word don't get you right, you can wish your head got right. Because he tell five churches to repent. He said he's talking to the church. He says repent. You would think, you know, repentance stopped under John the Baptist. You know, because John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. But if you read in the rest of the teachings under Paul, Paul doesn't really get into telling the church to repent, but he does come into giving the church correction. Because their behavior was sensual, earthly, fleshly. Repent. And most time when we hear the word repent, we think it's a negative word. We think it's a word, you know, oh, my Lord, what is the Lord going to do now? I've got to stop. I can't do this. I can't do that. My Lord Jesus. Repent. What does it mean? What does it mean to repent? Because he tells some of these churches to repent. And the reason why he tells them repent, because he wants them to walk under the anointing of the light of the gospel. See, he wants the church light to shine, not to look gloomy and doomy. See, when light comes on the scene, it dissipates darkness. When you come on the scene, do darkness go? You got the blessing on you. Or do you see yourself that way, or do you see yourself just like everybody else, a wimpy little church? See, I'm stirring you up. I want to get in your face because I want you to step into your rightful place of authority, the anointing that God has put on your life, that you walk in the favor of God, that you be a doer of what God called you to do and not just a hearer only, not just go through the motion, just having church service. Seven churches up here. Do these churches look happy? Some of them look kind of like, oh, Lord, have mercy. I hope I don't have to stand up here too long. Y'all pray for these churches up here. And if you think about it, that's what we should be doing anyway. We're supposed to be praying for the churches across the land. Seven churches. The first church is Ephesus. Remember your name. The second church is Smyrna. third church is Pergamos. Pergamos. The fourth church is Thyatira. Thyatira. Yeah. The fifth church is Sardis. 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 There you go. Say it loud. Sardis.
Sardis.
There you go. The sixth church is Philadelphia. Philadelphia. The last church is Laodicea. Nobody wants to be Laodicea. Seven churches. Now I want you to know these seven churches have assigned angels posted to each of them. They're not like your personal angel. Everybody in here have a personal angel. You, when you came in this world, God gave you an angel. The angel was supposed to be ministering in your behalf. And when you came into the covenant of God, that angel was set free to minister words that came from the word of God, because the angels hearken to the voice of God's word. But you and I, when we are heirs of salvation, we have the authorization to minister the word. And when the word goes forth, the angels take the words that you and I have spoken and they bring it to pass. The Bible said he sent his word and he healed them. Who's taking it? The angels. They're taking what? What God has said. But you got to say what God says. So these angels, they're assigned to each church. Ephesus, and Smyrna, Pergamos. Is it Thyatira? Sardis. Philadelphia. Laodicea. Now, I'm going over these because then I want you to understand, each of these churches listed here have different characteristics. They all are doing some things that may be pleasing before God, but they're not all pleasing God. So you may be doing some things that you know is honorable before God, respectful before God, but you may not be doing everything that is pleasing God. I'm talking about the church. I didn't write the book. See, the churches are given for us to understand some things, the quality of each church, and also to examine, where am I? Ephesus. We know Ephesus. One thing about all of the churches, we know Ephesus is kind of like the book of Ephesians, because that's the church that we're talking about. When Paul wrote to that church was on fire. That church knew about the blessing. Huh? They knew that they sit with him in heavenly places where they have all spiritual blessing. They knew that. You know, they knew about being a new creature. They knew about, you know, the whole armor of God, being able to stand. But sometimes you can know a lot about the Bible, but then you can miss sight of your true anointing and assignment to carry out all of that. They were full of good works. But one thing he had against Ephesus, they had lost their first love. They had left their first love. They had forgot about the love that God had given them that's been shed abroad in their heart by the Holy Spirit. In other words, that was the foundation in carrying out the works. Don't let your works just be full of works without love attached to your works. Don't get caught up in, okay, I did these works so that I could entertain the folks. You know, or I did these works because so I can put a check mark with Jesus. Was love attached to it? You helped somebody, but you was hating on them the whole time. Love. You know, Paul talks about that love walk, how important it is to love. But he talks about how in the 13th chapter, how you can burn yourself up in works and have not love, it profits you nothing. So what, you did a lot of works, but, you know, works don't save you. Love. Come back to your first love, Ephesus. Come back to your first love, Unity. Make sure your love walk is strong. See, it's not so much your love, it's his love that's in you that cause you to love. You couldn't love if the love of God wasn't shed abroad in your heart, first of all. And it's because he loved you first, you were able to love others. Because you wouldn't know how to love if you didn't have anyone to show you how to love. So, Ephesus, you need to repent. What does repent mean? Repent means to turn your heart and your mind to God's way. Turn your heart and your mind to God's way and not your way. That's what repentance means. And it's a good thing to repent because he said he chastened those he loved. He loving on the church of Ephesus. He want the church of Ephesus to rise and shine. But they can't do it without love. And they can't do it and overcome without love. Because why? The Bible says in 13th chapter, in 1 Corinthians, the 8th verse, love never fails. And so if it's not failing, then I'm overcoming. He wants the church to overcome. And I want you to know, each church, he's instructing them that if you overcome, I'm going to reward you. Not one of these churches, even the ones who got out of the world, even Laodicea. He said, look, repent and overcome. Say that, repent and overcome. Church of Ephesus, that's your assignment. Smyrna. Look at Smyrna. Smyrna is an anointed church. Smyrna is the one who's been faithful in carrying out God's work in the earth. Smyrna is dealing with a lot of false teachings in the church. And they're addressing those teachings. They're not supposed to be in this house. They don't line up with the word of God. Smyrna had great deeds in honoring what God had told them to carry out. Smyrna heard the voice of God. And every church, he said, they that have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord saith to the church. He's talking to the church today. See, the reason why the world is in an uproar or turmoil and disarray, the church got to be in their rightful place. The church has to be doing their part, carrying out God's will in the earth. Many of these things that are happening, many of them are going to happen anyhow. But that don't mean that the church has to go through a lot of stuff. And it's because of the fact we're able to triumph over that. And it's because of the fact that we have the word of God on the inside of us. This church, when I was studying this and I was looking at the different churches, and this particular church was a persecuted church. This church was suffering much persecution. This church like my wife was saying earlier, if you go overseas, you find churches that are going through stuff that you and I haven't gone through. Tested and the buildings being bombed and the church being scattered. And so that this church was persecuted, but the church stayed in the faith, even through the persecution. And because they stayed in the faith, God was able to honor them. They took the persecution, but they stayed in the walk of faith, and they overcame. Now, here's a church that he does not say you need to repent. Smyrna didn't have to repent. Ephesus had to repent. Smyrna was going on with the Lord even when things weren't going their way, looking good like we would like to see it, especially in America. The mindset is everything has to be good all the time. Well, you must have been reading about what Jesus went through and what Paul went through and what the apostles went through. And the Bible said those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We don't welcome persecution, but when persecution comes, we got to know we got the word of God to deal with it. And I want you to know Smyrna knew that. They honor that. And God calls them to be rewarded because of that. Each church he rewarded if they would repent and overcome. And even the church who was an overcomer, as this one here, he still rewarded. The third church is Pergamos. Pergamos is dealing with some issues of compromising. Are you a compromiser when it comes to the word of God? Do you wheel and deal when you know it's not the will of God, it's the world? You want to make sure, okay, am I doing that which is honorable before God? Because this church, which was compromising, they were partaking of some things that caused others to stumble. The Bible talks about them stumbling and falling to the point where, see, leaders were coming in and they were causing others to trip. And they were practicing things of the flesh. They were committing, leaders were committing fornication, but that same anointing was on the church. That same spirit, I've seen pastors who have entered into adultery and fornication, and I heard about the church, and not that I'm trying to be, you know, demeaning about the church, but when I heard about it, I heard about so many others in the church followed suit. See, you got to understand, don't think that your leader don't play a part with the anointing that's being imparted to the body. And grace is there to forgive. Don't get me wrong now. People make mistakes and we need to forgive them. But when God puts me in a position of a pastor, he where much is given, much is required. He expects more out of me than he do you. But he don't expect less out of you when he's called you to do something. So this church here, Pergamos, was a compromising church, became a stumbling block. They began to worship idols. They were eating at the tables of idol worship. In other words, they were bringing in teachings that was not lined up with the will of God. They loved God in their own way, but they weren't following him all the way. The fourth church is Thyatira. Thyatira is called the corrupt church. The corrupt church. If I was to call the name of a person, I believe everybody in here would know who I'm talking about. What type of style of church that was operating. If I call a name, I believe you would know the characteristics of this church. If I call a name, I believe I wouldn't have to give you a definition. I got you thinking a little bit, ain't I? I wouldn't have to give you a definition of what this church character is like. They had a Jezebel spirit. Jezebel's spirit had influenced the church. And you know, Jezebel is all about, you know, fleshly desires. They move out of the will of God to operate in the flesh. That Jezebel spirit came into the temple and committed fornication, adultery. And today, you know, we think that it's okay to accept that in society. I always read up, you know, what happened in Texas, because they're really strong in the Christian Beltway and coming against a lot of the laws that have been created by judges without the nation being involved to vote. Just like one of the things that they passed where they wanted to have the bathrooms of both genders and outside gender, whatever your gender you want to be. But they went in the courtroom in Texas and it was put out of court. So, but someone had to make a stand to come against it. See, a lot of times we accept whatever the judge has stated, and we just sit back and don't do anything. That's corrupt. We let corruption continue on when we know the values of what the church is all about. Perkins was getting a little tired, but we're gonna work on it. The next church is Sardis. Sardis is considered to be the dead church. The dead church, that's a social club. We just come together to meet so we can sing and have some little fun and go home. Dead church. A dead church that has no life, no life-changing experience. You ever been to a dead church? Nobody gets healed. Nobody believes for miracles. If you say hallelujah, they want to put you out. You're in the wrong church. You need to go. We need to escort you out. Ushers, aisle 10, seat number 4, need to go. Dead church. We got some dead churches like that today. And you know, when you're in a dead church, you just don't feel comfortable in a dead church. You say, what? Is Jesus here? And Jesus will tell you, I've been trying to get in for years, and they won't let me in. I've been knocking on the door. But this dead church doesn't give life to the community, doesn't give life to a family, doesn't give life to a nation that's supposed to be one nation under God. See, you're supposed to be bringing life, because life is in you. Life is supposed to be in others that you come in contact with. Not following the tradition of men and denying the power within. See, and God wants to minister to the church so the church can be effective with power. And where there's power, there's life. The next church, church number 6, Philadelphia. This church is called the Faithful Church. This church went through tests and temptations, but God brought them through it. There are going to be temptations, as I said earlier, but God will bring you through it if you're faithful. See, we talked about the blessing, and the Bible says the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and add no sorrow to it. See, it's the faithful man that abounds in the blessing. Stay faithful, and God said you will abound. You will increase in the blessing. Philadelphia was another church that he didn't have to tell to repent. See, over here, Ephesus, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, and over here at the end, Laodicea, he told them all, hey, you got to repent. But all of them, he wants them to be rewarded. But he tells them, repent, overcome, and you're overcome by who? the blood of the Lamb, and the word of your testimony, loving not your life unto death, you overcome. So he tells the church of Philadelphia, which is the faithful church, to rise up, take your position of authority. He that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Laodicea, the last church. Laodicea, I'm looking at you and you're neither hot or cold. I wish you was either hot or cold, but you're lukewarm, Laodicea. And if you're lukewarm, Laodicea, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. You know what? You're distasteful around me, Laodicea. Can you imagine the Lord is saying that to the church? Some of us don't want to think that the Lord is thinking that way, that he want to spit us out. Laodicea was following some things that outside of the will of God, they were disobedience. They were following some works that was not in line with the will of God. They were mixing the old with the new. You don't put old wine into new wine skin. They're mixing the good with the bad. They're mixing judgment with grace or condemnation with grace. But here I want you to know that he was telling this church, he said, church, I would rather for you to be hot or cold. I'd rather for you to be under the law if you wish, or be under the grace, than to be trying to mix it all together. And that's what a lot of people have done, even in the church. They mix it. They condemn you, and then they want to love you. Well, what are you going to do with me? Now, I want you to know he is judging the church. He is, but he's bringing righteous judgment. Judgment to line each of them up with the will of God. See, when I judge a person, my judgment should be righteous judgment. I judge you because I love you. I judge you because my heart has passion to help you. My judgment is not a judgment to beat you up or to kick you to the curb, as we say today. But my judgment is to bless you. My judgment is to get you to stay in the blessing. Because, see, you can open the door to the curse. See, Philadelphia had the door open, set before them by God. And whatever God opens, no man can shut. And whatever man try to shut, God will open it. If God be for you, who can be against you? See, you're trusting in the blessing. You're trusting in the blessing. You're trusting in the word of God. That's the word that releases the blessing. Every church that's up here is pretty much saying, I stand at the door, and I'm knocking at the door of your heart. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. That means we're going to have a good time. We're going to have fellowship. See? So the objective, for the church is to stay in fellowship. The objective of the church is to get in tune with the Spirit of God. The objective of the church is for you to triumph every day in every way, on every course of life. When you're being tested and tried on your job, when you're being tested and tried in school, when you're being tested and tried in your marriage or in your family or whatever you're being tested and tried with, God has given you the power and authority to reign as a king and as a priest on the earth. But he's coming back for a church, he says, without a spot, without a blemish. And the reason why we don't have a spot or a blemish, and it's not because of our great works, but because of the finished works that we choose to receive and choose to take advantage of to walk in. Let's give a hand for these seven churches. I hope you don't get lazy and sit down on the church when it gets hard and get tested in life. Whatever test you got in life, God has given you the ability and he's given you the anointing to triumph in it. You don't like the test you got? Ask God about it. Ask God, well, Lord, help me with this. I need some help with this, Lord. I don't know how to, you know, I know you need help. I was wondering when you was going to come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Learn of me, because my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You've been trying to do it on your own. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. None of these churches that are up here can triumph, or you can triumph in this life without the help of the Holy Spirit, without looking to the Lord, who is supposed to be the author and finisher of your faith. I pray that you really examine yourself and not just hear this as, you know, a demonstration of just going through a ritual of just looking at the different churches. Because I want you to know this is a real deal. He did correct the church. And a lot of times when correction comes, we don't love it. We don't like it. We don't want it. But it's good for us. Because why? He loves us. Who in you don't think they need correction? I want to see where you really are. You're scared to raise your hand because you know somebody else will be looking at you, right? You know she raised her hand. If she really knew, No, we didn't want to go there. That's not the objective, but I really want you to examine yourself. You know, because we're living in a time now that you're going to be tested, and I want you to be ready for the test and not just go through the mess and wonder why you end up with all this stuff that you don't know how it happened, why it happened. When God said, we're talking about the end times. Revelation is here to reveal and to show you insight into your future. Some of you care less about your future. Why you say that, Pastor? Because you don't spend time with the Lord. You spend time more on your job than you spend time with the Lord. Oh, man. The Lord is speaking, not Rock, Pastor Rock. You got to understand this. I'm going to help you out. Not that I'm trying to get out of hot water. Because, if I'm in it, I'm in it. God put me in it. If he put me in it, he can get me out of it. Here's the thing. You on your job. You got to talk to the Lord on your job. I'm trying to help you out now. I'm trying to help you out. You all beat up, shook up, mad up, sweat up, everything up. Besides Jesus. My wife can tell you, man, I talk. Look, ask Sister Kathy. She used to work with me. We used to be in the conference room praying. On my job. Every time I went into a session or I had to deal with clientele, and when I had to deal with VPs or presidents or CEOs from different companies and senior officers of different, regions, I had to deal with engineers and I know they didn't want all about me. So I had to get my heart right. I had to get my mind right. I had to get the atmosphere right. I spoke words to release blessings and I got favor. I got favor. I'm not trying to, it ain't about me, but it is about him. I'm just trying to get you to focus on, hey, this is how you win when you're in what we're in, when we have to go to work, when we have to go on our jobs, when we have to deal with whatever. This is how you win. You want to win in school? It ain't about you just trying to get a whole bunch of education and No. You want to win in school, you about to be talking to the Lord. It's a many times I was telling my son, my oldest son, I said, I don't know how in the world I passed calculus. How many of y'all ever took calculus? How many of y'all chose not to take calculus? Huh? I took calculus. I said, Lord, you got to help me with this one. Huh? How did I get in this class? Huh? I came out of that class. I passed it. I said, I knew it was the Lord. If you ask me, how did I get it? I couldn't tell you. All I know, I prayed and God answered my prayers. I know that's right. Huh? I know that's right. Huh? All these angles and theorems and, you know, hypotheses and, you know, and it's and you probably won't never even use half of the stuff. I asked people that are engineers and they said they don't even use half of the stuff that they have studied and learned while they were in college. That's why I said my kids are blessed because they learned that stuff and they did well. I said, well, you know, the Lord said, that's not your assignment. This is where you're supposed to be. See, if you go in your assignment, you know that's where I'm supposed to be. See? God was trying to pull me out of it anyway, and I was glad he did because, I said, that was not my assignment. See, when you flow in the assignment, even the areas that you don't want to go into, because God will take you into places you don't want to go. Just because you want to go, that don't mean God is saying go. You hear me? See, a lot of times God is telling you to go somewhere else, like he took Jesus out of the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He may be taking you to be tempted of the devil. You don't want to go. But you got something on the inside that's prompting you. You got a passion on the inside that's compelling you. And it's saying, hey, go. You're the one for the assignment. You're anointed for the job. Well, get somebody else. I wanted that too. Get somebody else, Lord. Don't get me. Get somebody else. No, God said, I got you. I've equipped you for it. I bless you for it. See, where are you now on your job? You got to realize that God has anointed you and equipped you for it. He has. He will use you. More mightily than what you can imagine. He will, huh? Far above all that you can imagine or ask or think. And it's only because of the power that worketh on the inside of you. See, it ain't about you thinking you got the power. We got the power. No, it ain't about that. No, it's about the power of the one on the inside of you that enables you to be made more than a conqueror. Stand up on your feet, please. Say this with me. Father, I thank you. You have made me more than a conqueror. I hear your voice. I am blessed to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. I am the church, called and anointed and appointed in this time and season. I choose to win. I choose to triumph. I choose to walk in the blessings of the Lord that maketh rich and adds no sorrow to it. The blessing of the Lord, it's rich over my body, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. The blessing of the Lord is upon my life to be a blessing. The blessing of the Lord is upon my family to be a blessing. That's the anointing and the empowerment to succeed in every area, upon every test, upon every trial, upon every temptation. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even the faith that the Lord Jesus Christ has imparted to me by the word of God. The blessing of the Lord covers over my household, covers over my community, cover over every police officer. Even when I go to the prisons, it's covered over them. Every woman, every man in our nation, we release our faith. Even with every state, connected with every covenant partner, every member of the body of Christ, we come in agreement. We bind and take authority over every demonic force, over this candidacy. We thank you, Father, that you will put the right person in place, in leadership, as the president of 2017. Thank you, Lord. We believe we receive. You're orchestrating everything behind the scene. You're compelling men to trust you as Lord, as Savior, as King of kings and Lord of lords. Thank you, Father. We have a peace that passes all understanding, that will keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Now, body, I'm speaking to you. Line up to the perfect will of God. Mine, you have called to choose the right things, which is right standing with God. You are to walk by faith and not by sight. Spirit of the living God, I ask you for a fresh anointing each day that I release the blessings upon those that you instruct me to encounter in my life. I receive it. I am the healthy. I am the wealthy. I am the one made whole. I walk in it. I decree it and I declare it. It's mine. And it's all because I am a member of the body of Christ. I receive it done because Jesus did it over 2,000 years ago. It is finished. It is done. I am one with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Father of kings, and the precious Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.